And I want to simply talk to you today on preparing a place for the Lord. And I want to begin by basically breaking the sermon into two parts. I want to look at the context of this call or this preparation for the Lord. And also, I want to look then at the content of the call. Now, first of all, the context. Let's look at the person and let's look at the place where the Word of God is sent. We have here a very remarkable list of great and powerful and important people that are listed here. We have an emperor, you know, Tiberius Caesar, and we have the local governor, Pontius Pilate, and we have three tetrarchs are mentioned. Let's see if I can get all these pronounced right now. We got Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis. All right, church, we're working on it. And we got Lysanias, who is tetrarch of Abilene, not Texas, but Abilene in the Holy Land. And not only do we have great secular leaders, but even some religious leaders, sadly corrupt religious leaders. We have mentioned Annas and Caiaphas. Some of us went to the ruins of Caiaphas' house in Jerusalem. I said they're the ruins, all right, church? No house of wickedness can stand. And we see here that it was, but I want to say to you, church, that it was to none of these, that the Word of God went. It went to John the Baptist, a humble man who lived in the desert. We'll look at the desert part in a minute. Not to the White House, to the State House, to the courthouse. Not to Hollywood, not to sports heroes, not to political figures, but rather the Word of God went to the desert, to John the Baptist. Now, I don't want to say to you that the great glitterati and the great leaders of our days have nothing to say to us. We ought to pray for those in authority. We ought to pray for those in authority in the state, our president, our mayor, all civil authorities. We do that every Mass. We ought to pray for our church leaders, our Pope, our bishops. Yeah, even me, your pastor. Do pray for me occasionally. I appreciate it. But I want to say to you that I think in our culture, we pay far too much attention to what world leaders are saying and far too little attention to what God is saying. Too many people tuck their faith under their politics, under their sense of pop culture. They tuck their faith under world opinions and what they think. And the Word of God is not first. It is second or third or fourth. Too many people take their moral judgments not from the Word of God, but from the world. Maybe what a politician said, or a Hollywood star said, or a sports hero said. Recently, I heard a Hollywood producer indicate that we've got to re-examine marriage. People live too long today. You can't expect people to get married and stay faithful for over 50 or 60 years. That's just unreasonable. That's what Hollywood says. But God says a man clings to his wife and the two of them are one. There's just too much stinking thinking out there, brothers and sisters. But unfortunately, a lot of people take their main clues from the world. What did someone on Oprah say? Or what did the football star say in the interview? Or what did some Hollywood person say? And what does the Democrat or the Republican Party say? What does God say? And if God says something different than those things, well, what's wrong with the Bible? What's wrong with the church? What's wrong? We need to update. And too many people put the Word of God on trial instead of the world. Brothers and sisters, it is the world and everyone in it that should be on trial based on the Word of God. But most people have the Word of God on trial based on the world. There's an awful lot of hands on the hips, and what's that all about? What's God saying there? I don't think I agree with that. What's the church saying? If they don't want to directly attack God, they'll attack the church, or they'll attack the preacher, or they'll attack the Bible as being a document from the past. But in the end, it's God and His Word that's on trial instead of the world. Brothers and sisters, we got to order our steps in God's Word. That's the star we see by. Those are the glasses. Right now, I can't see any of you. But I put on the Word of God, and now I see clearly. And so it is that I just want to say to you that in this passage, we see the great leaders of that day. We see an emperor, a governor, three tetrarchs or local officials. We see even religious leaders who had sadly been corrupted. But it was to none of these that the Word of God went. It was to a humble and obedient man named John the Baptist, who cared not what anyone said or thought. I don't know if you've ever read much of what John the Baptist said, but he could take on the scribes and the Pharisees as much as he could take on the state officials. He took on Herod, and Herod killed him for it. Herod lopped off his head, but John cared only what God thought. And everyone else was seen based on what God had told him. That's where the Word of God went. So I simply challenge you, as I challenge myself, we're all in this. We're very influenced by the increasingly secular culture around us. And we've got to be on alert for that. Because if you get too accustomed to the thinking of the world, some of God's Word does seem, I said seem, unreasonable at times. Too demanding. Too exclusive. Too whatever. All the protests of the world begin to sink in, and we start to doubt God instead of doubt the world. Well, I got news for you. The world's going away, but God is staying around. Might as well get on board with God. So I want you not just to notice the person to whom this Word of God went forth, a man who cared not for the opinions of anyone in the world, John the Baptist. That's where the Word of God went. And not only the person, but the place. It says that he was in the desert of Judea, in the Judean desert. Some of us were in the Holy Land recently. We went to the Judean desert. We were out near the Dead Sea. We went to Masada. We were out there, and it's a howling desert. There's practically no drop of water anywhere to be found. And those of you who went with me, you got lucky, though, because we went in the cool time of the year. Last time I went, it was in June, and I want you to know it was 110 degrees, and it was just humbling to be in that desert. The heat just surrounded every fiber of my being, and it was hot, it was dry. They said, don't go 20 minutes without drinking water. And that's where the Word of God went. Now, why do I point this out? Because you see, if you're going to hear the Word of God, you got to be humble. You got to be mighty, mighty humble. Because you see, there's something in us called the flesh. And the flesh says, I don't like to be told what to do. I have my own ideas about what I ought to do. And I want to do what I want to do, and I want to decide if it's right or wrong. That's the flesh. But in order to really be humble enough to hear God's word and obey it, the flesh has to kind of go into the desert. The flesh has to be humbled. And if you've never been in a desert, some of you have, I know. Maybe out in Phoenix, out in the Southwest. I tell you, that's humbling. That is very humbling to be in a desert. Just 20 minutes away from death. If you don't drink enough water, the searing heat, it humbles you. It humbles the flesh. And we're more apt to hear God's word. And even if you've never been in a physical desert, how many of you have ever been in a spiritual desert? How many of you have ever been in those times in your life when nothing was going right, financial troubles, worries at home, worries at work. Sometimes it takes that much to get us on our knees and say, okay, God, I think I've reached the end. I think it's time to actually call on you now. I think it's time not to try to do my own agenda. I think it's time to hand it over to you. I'm finally humble enough that I just don't have a solution. I can't pay the doctor. I can't pay the lawyer. I actually have to turn to you, Lord. Whew, church. That's the desert. And sometimes God has to bring us to that humility to finally get us to say, you know, I've tried everything else. I think I'm going to try the Word of God. So we see that in order to order our steps and to begin to walk in God's paths, we need a lot of humility. We need to see that the Word of God doesn't always go to the famous, to the glitterati, to the Hollywood types, to the people that we are like, ooh, we're so admiring of. Ooh, look at them. And if they just open their mouth, it's all pearls. Not necessarily, church. We have to be humble about that, and we have to be humble about ourselves. God's word often goes among the humble, the obedient. God's word is among the, found in desert places of our life, where we're humble enough to finally say, all right, all of my dreams and designs and plans and answers, and I know I'm right. Saw a great bumper sticker, church. It says, don't believe everything you think. Do not believe everything you think. There is some stinking thinking in all of us. Let the Word of God order your thoughts. So it is the context of John the Baptist's ministry. If John the Baptist is going to be able to minister to us, we got to be humble and we got to be in the desert. It takes that to get this word through our thick skulls. Now, a little bit about the content then of John's message. If we're humble enough and we're in the desert, and praise God, there's something humble about all of us this morning that got us to God's house. Amen. Somehow we just realize, I need to go and hear a word from God. That's humility. Thank God for it. It's not your achievement. God gave it to you as a gift. Praise God. Now, with that in mind, what is some of the content then of John's message? He quotes the great passage from Isaiah. There are four basic elements I want to review with you in terms of John's message. That we got to be ready for God. That we got to be right with God. That we've got to recover humility and we've got to reject roughness. Now, first of all, ready for God. The text simply says, prepare. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare. All of us know how to get ready for stuff. About January 15th or thereabouts, I'll be starting to pull my receipts together. I'll be starting to pull out those Quicken accounts and print out the data. Get ready to call the accountant. Say, help! We know how to get ready for April 15th, tax day. Most of you have been off to school. You've gone to college or trade school or what have you to prepare for a career. Some of the ones who are younger who are off in class right now, they know how to get ready for a test. At least theoretically they do. We all know how to get ready for things. Yet, you know, all those things I just mentioned, whether it's taxes or career or a gathering of family, whatever it might be, none of that's promised. None of that is anyway certain. Church, I can't even guarantee you're going to get home this afternoon. I can't even guarantee you that any of us are going to finish this Mass. None of that is certain, but one thing is certain. We're going to die and go meet God. And the text says we're going to have to render an account. We're going to be judged before the judgment seat of Christ. That is the one thing certain. Nothing else, even taxes, are not certain. But this is certain, that we will die and we will stand before God in the judgment seat of Christ, and we will render an account. Are you preparing for that? Am I? Well, I look out and I see some folks, and looks like there's some elements of preparation going on. Praise God. Part of getting to church on Sunday is preparing. I thank God for your witness. But again, all of us just need to be aware that there's too many people in the world today, and we're getting ready to do some evangelization, church, and I want you to know something. There's just too many people that are goofing off, playing around, laughing their way through life, doing what they please, and they think they're going to be ready to meet God. And you know what? I got news for them. They're not. You can't just go on ignoring God, ignoring His Word, doing what you please, and think you're going to be ready to meet God. It's just not going to happen. So we have to have an urgency for ourselves, but also for others, to say to them, come and go with me to the Father's house, to our Father's house. Come. We've got to get ready. We get ready for everything else. Let's get ready to meet God. The one certain thing is that we will stand before God one day and render an account. There's just too many people playing around. Now, what are some elements of getting prepared? Lots, but let me just emphasize four. Prayer. Every day. Look, you brush your teeth. You know, you get up, you go to work, whatever. You make the oatmeal, whatever the routines are. Pray every day. Don't miss a day. The Bible is very clear. If we're not praying, we're not going to make it. The Lord says, pray, lest ye give way to temptation. The Lord simply says, you got to stay awake. You got to be awake. You got to be alert. You got to pray. Just pray every day. If you don't want to pray, then make that your prayer. Lord, I don't want to pray. I'm bored when I pray. I can't stand praying. My flesh crawls when I have to go pray. You're already praying. Talk to God. If you feel angry about having to pray, if you feel angry about any of the demands He's put on you, talk to Him. Prayer doesn't have to be this sort of stained glass voice. Oh Lord, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. It doesn't have to be that way. Beautiful memorized prayers, if that sustains you, great. But it doesn't have to be that. And those things are beautiful and helpful. But in the end, talk to God. Pray every day. And the Lord says, if you're not praying, you're not going to make it. Pray, He says, lest you give way to temptation. So we need to pray every day. Every day with the Word of God. I hope you read Scripture every day. Every day. Some folks take the Magnificat magazine and they follow the church's lectionary. Some people are just good devotionally. You have devotional materials that they use. But get something that helps you. But stay with God's Word every day. Church, I promise you, there is so much stinking thinking out there. There is so much distorted, confused, just downright disobedient thinking out there that if we're not reading the Word of God every day, it's going to just fill our minds. You need to take your medicine. And God's Word is a medicine for the mind. We've just got to allow the Word of God to enter our mind. So we got to pray. We got to read Scripture every Sunday Mass. Do not miss Sunday Mass. I'm talking to folks who don't need to hear this. But some of us, well, we're here most Sundays, but some Sundays we blow it off. Don't miss a Sunday. Don't miss a meal. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. The Eucharist, the Holy Word of God, this is the meal that has to sustain us. And brothers and sisters, it's not just for you that you come. It's for me. It's for everyone in this church. If we're not all going to be at our post, and we're not going to be serious about being here, this church cannot be sustained. Right now, 27% of Catholics go to Mass on Sunday. You know what that means? It means we're closing churches. It means we're closing schools. The church cannot be sustained if people don't show up. So again, your presence is desperately needed, not just for your own sake, but for the sake of everyone you see around you, including your pastor. Don't make me talk to an empty church. Finally, regular confession. The four elements: prayer, the Word of God every day prayer, every Sunday Mass, and frequent confession. Just get on your knees and say, Lord, I got a lot of stuff going on. I can be selfish, egotistical, I can be thin-skinned, I can be resentful, I can be lustful, I can be greedy, and my biggest sin is I don't even know half the time when I'm doing all that stuff. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, I beg you. You know that over one-third of the Our Father is devoted to repentance? Just count up the lines. Over one-third of the lines are devoted to repentance. So it is that we ought to be regularly repenting of our sins and regularly reporting to the priest of the church, as the scripture says. So it is that those four elements I would recommend to you as a basic plan for preparation: daily prayer, daily scripture, weekly Sunday Mass, frequent confession. Yes, there are other elements that we could talk about, but let those four be a good framework to build on. Now, not only should we be ready for God, but we ought to be right with God. The text simply says, make straight his paths, and the winding roads need to be made straight. Now, the winding road is a symbol of shifting priorities, of a heart that's not steadfast, that's not steady, that's being all over the map, all over God's green acre. I'm here some Sundays, I'm not. I pray some days I don't. I'm handling my moral life, sometimes I'm not. I'm just all over the map, a crooked path. And the Lord says, follow the straight and narrow path. Just stay on it. And don't vary here and there. Don't be vacillating. Don't be all over the place. Find the path. Order my steps, Lord, in your word. Just stay in that straight path with the Lord. That's what the Lord is teaching us here through our John the Baptist and through Isaiah. Not only should we be ready for God, but we should be right with God. Proverbs 3 verse 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and the Lord will make straight your paths. Proverbs 4 and verse 24 says, put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. Take heed to the path of your feet, and then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Oh, church, you keep hearing me going back to that song. Order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me, guide me every day. Send your anointing. Father, I pray, order my steps. Keep my feet in your path. And so it is that we should not just be ready for God, we should be right with God. And the next thing that the text tells us is that we need to rediscover humility. The text simply says, every valley needs to be filled in, and every mountain and hill be made low. Now, I think a lot of us have an incomplete notion of humility. So let me just give you a quick definition of humility. Here it is, in one line. Humility is reverence for the truth about myself. Now, the truth is, not just, oh, I'm nothing, oh, shucks, I don't got nothing, I'm just little old me, oh, shucks, I can't. That's not humility. You are gifted. God does not make nothing. God makes someone. You are somebody because the Lord made you, and you have gifts and you have talents, and the Lord wants you to use them. And part of humility is saying, Lord, I know I didn't do this, but you've done it, and I better let you be an instrument. I better let me be an instrument in your hand. Humility recognizes our gifts and puts them at the service of others. Someone I know the other day said to me, when I praised a gift that she was showing, she said, "Oh, that was God. I had nothing to do with it." And if you get embarrassed when somebody praises you, just say, "To God be the glory. Great things he has done." So, but humility starts with a reverence for the fact that God does everything. But I can be an instrument in his hand, and I thank him for the gifts that I have. You know that little, if you will, proverb or teaching, a lot of people think it comes from Nelson Mandela. Actually, he was quoting Marianne Williamson in her book, Return to Love. But the text simply goes like this. It says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant or gorgeous or talented or fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others to let their glory shine. I hope you're familiar with that text. Beautiful text, because it's about true humility. True humility says God does everything. But because of that, I need to be an instrument in his hand. Now, therefore, the text here says that every mountain shall be made low, but also the valleys need to be filled in. That, oh, shucks, I'm no one. Who am I to do it? Let somebody else do it. I can't do it. I'm not up to it. I'm not able. Those valleys of depression and low self-esteem, that has to be filled in. But the mountains of pride, I can do it on my own. I did it. Look at me. Aren't I great? Pay attention to me. Those mountains need to be leveled. Humility, reverence for the truth. God is my all and my all, but I am an instrument in his hand, and he can do great work through me. And I thank him for it. It's not me who did it. It's God who did it. To God be the glory. And so it is that we are to be ready with God. We are to be right with God. We are to recover humility and finally just plain old reject roughness. The text says every rough way needs to be made smooth. And I just want to say, look, what are the rough ways? It's that stuff that you got going on that makes you hard to live with. Now, I'm not hard to live with, but I've heard other people are hard to live with. We've all got rough edges to our personalities. We've all got things that people have to sort of say, well, there he goes again. One of my rough edges is maybe not to be particularly succinct. But I thank you for tolerating me, but help me to keep working on being more succinct. But in the end, brothers and sisters, we all have those rough edges. We need to be aware of them and allow God to smooth them. You heard the text today. May God, who has begun a good work in you, bring it to completion. You see, in the end, you will be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect. But all of us right now still have some of those rough edges. Let God show them to you. Let other people show them to you. Have enough humility to say, you know, it's probably true. And you might not be able to snap your fingers and just snap out of it. But God can little by little sand off the rough edges and make us smooth, silky and smooth as glass. And so it is, these four things. Well, brothers and sisters, the word of God went into the desert to a humble man named John the Baptist. And if we were honest and went there with him, we've learned four things today. We've learned, first of all, that we need to get ready. And we need to help others to get ready. And we need to be serious and sober about that. We got to stop all this postponing, putting it off. Thank God you're here today. But these pews should be filled. We got to work at helping others to get ready and be serious about it. John also told us to get right with God, to keep our path straight, to not wander all over the place and think we're going to get home. We got to have our paths ordered. We've been told that we have to recover humility. We've been told we have to reject roughness. All through this, I've been hinting at this song, so I'll finish with it. You see, we've got to make straight the paths of the Lord. We've simply got to allow God to enter into our lives and to make our paths straight. And only God can do it. If left to myself, I will be all over God's green acre. Order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me. Guide me every day. Send your anointing, Father, I pray. Just order my steps in your word. Humbly I ask you to teach me your will. While you are working, help me to be still. Oh, Satan's busy, but God is real. Oh, order my steps in your word, Lord. Please, please, Lord, order my steps in your word. Bridle my tongue and let my words edify. Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in thy sight. Take charge of my thoughts, both day and both by night. Order my steps, Lord. Please, Lord, order my steps in your word. I want to walk worthy, my calling to fulfill. Please, Lord, please, order my steps. I'll do your holy will. Please, Lord, give me the humility to get here every Sunday, to pray every day. Give me the humility to get to confession frequently. Give me the humility to read your word every day and order my steps, Lord. Order them, please. Order them in your word. Amen.